Thank you again, Dave and Amanda. That was awesome. Today, towards the end of the service, we're going to have a communion together. Just going to draw closer to the table to be able to partake of the emblems in remembrance of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. One of the major principles in biblical preaching and sermon writing that I learned from my homiletics classes in Bible college and in seminary is to always be aware and mindful of your audience as well as the occasion. Think about your audience, demographics, what they already know, their attitudes, their beliefs, convictions, and values. And then above all, understand the occasion. Why this audience? Why this audience at this time? And what will success look like after I'm done speaking? In other words, know and honor your audience by acknowledging the occasion before it, because it dictates what type of sermon or speech you are going to give. That, beloved, is a profound principle. Every preacher ought to know that principle. Every person who gives a speech ought to know that principle. Because if they're not going to take into consideration the occasion and the type of audience they're speaking to, they're not going to be relevant or impactful in their ministry. Now, the word occasion simply means a particular time, especially as marked by certain circumstances or occurrences, such as events, ceremonies, tragedies, and celebrations. Now, speaking of the word occasion, I remember being dumbfounded when one of my classmates in Bible school, admiring my outfit one Monday morning in the middle of summer in Texas, and quickly following up with an odd question. He said, "What's the occasion?" Having just come from Zambia, Africa, I had absolutely no clue what he was talking about. So in my naivete, I quickly said, "Class," with a puzzled look. To which he responded with a smile and walked away shaking his head, which left me even more confused. I now know the rhetorical question, "What's the occasion?" that my classmate asked is sometimes used as a standard expression when someone is wearing an unusually nice outfit. It presupposes that one is probably overdressed for the occasion, especially to an event called class in my situation. So, again, speaking of the word occasion, if a stranger walked into our midst today, looked around the sanctuary, they would quickly ask the rhetorical question, what is the occasion? What is the occasion? Or if they don't ask, at least they will be wondering in their minds what the occasion is. So what's up with the green decorations that we see in the sanctuary today? The lights, the wreath, the candles, and the carols we just sang. What's the occasion? Now, just in case you haven't clued in yet, we are in the middle of the Advent season. And that sense is the occasion that will dictate everything we are going to do and say until Christmas. In a series that I'm calling Advent Unwrapped. Advent Unwrapped. Before we proceed, let me quickly answer the question, what is Advent and why is it important? What is Advent and why is it important in the church calendar? Advent is a season of expectation and hope filled with rich traditions. The word Advent means arrival or coming, and it prompts us to pause and remember why Jesus came at Christmas. It is marked by a spirit of waiting, anticipating, longing, and yearning, panting for the blessed hope in the coming of a deliverer, in the coming of the Messiah. Advent is the cry of those who have experienced injustice and oppression in a world under the curse and the tyranny of sin, and yet who have hope of deliverance by a God who hears their cries and has brought about that deliverance through his Son, Jesus Christ. John the Baptist calls him the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Advent sense represents our hope in the reign of the Anointed One, the Messiah, a promised deliverer who brings peace, the shalom of God, who brings joy unspeakable, who brings unconditional and sacrificial love. He brings justice and righteousness in accordance with the messianic prophecies in the Old Testament. Now, if you have your Bible this morning, quickly turn with me to Jeremiah chapter 33. We're going to read verses 14 to 16. Once you find it, please rise to your feet in honor of the reading of God's word. You can also turn to Isaiah chapter 11, verse 1 to 4. Jeremiah 33, verses 14 to 16, the Bible says, "Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, that I will perform that good thing which I have promised to the house of Israel and to the house of Judah. In those days and at that time, I will cause to grow up to David a branch of righteousness. He shall execute judgment and righteousness in the earth. In those days, Judah will be saved, and Jerusalem will dwell securely. And this is the name by which it will be called: the Lord our righteousness. The Lord our righteousness. Isaiah chapter 11, verse 1 to 4. The Bible says, a shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse. From his roots, a branch will bear fruit. The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him. The Spirit of wisdom and of understanding. The Spirit of counsel and of might. The Spirit of the knowledge and fear of the Lord. And he will delight in the fear of the Lord. He will not judge by what he sees with his eyes, or decide by what he hears with his ears. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word this morning. May he soften our hearts and open our spiritual understanding for our nourishment and transformation. And somebody said, amen. You may be seated. God bless you. The scriptures that we just read refer to both the first and second coming of Christ. During the Advent season, we celebrate the coming of Christ from three different perspectives. Number one, we celebrate the Messiah coming into history. Number two, we celebrate the Messiah coming into our hearts. Number three, we celebrate his second coming as King and Judge. We celebrate because we are looking forward to a time when our redemption will be complete. Advent has past, present, and future implications in itself. Jesus not only comes to us as King, but as a great high priest who mediates between man and God. We walked in darkness, have now seen the light of the gospel and the promise of salvation through the coming of Jesus. And we are reminded about all that during the Advent season. Now, in our celebration of Advent, we use symbols and the different themes that this season evokes in our lives. So this morning, I would like to look at the purpose and imagery of the Advent wreath and candles in a subject entitled Symbols of Advent. Symbols of Advent. We are going to look at the themes of Advent in the next two Sundays before Christmas Eve, and that is if Jesus tarries. And here's my first point. The first symbol of Advent that we shall consider this morning is a wreath that cradles the candles. A wreath that cradles the candles. The Advent wreath is a circular garland of evergreen branches representing eternity. It is used to symbolically commemorate the hope of renewal, newness of life, and the death and resurrection of the promised Messiah. The evergreen color signifies God's promise of everlasting life to us that we are granted when we believe in Christ as our Lord and Savior. In Romans chapter 6, verse 23, Scripture says there, "For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." Underline the phrase "eternal life in Christ Jesus alone." He said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." And he said, "I have come," in John chapter 10, verse 10, "that you may have life and have it in abundance." Now, what is eternal life, you ask? John chapter 17, verse 3 says, "And this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent." Eternal life is to know the true God and Jesus Christ, whom our Father has sent to us. Which brings us to our second point. What is the imagery of the five candles? What is the imagery of the five candles? If you will notice, there are three purple candles in that picture. In the history of the church tradition, the primary color of Advent is purple because it is the color of loyalty. Not loyalty, but royalty. It is the color of royalty to welcome the advent or coming of a king. And we know that that king is Jesus Christ. Now, Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9, and 10b says, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey. He shall speak peace to the nations. His dominion shall be from sea to sea and from the river to the ends of the earth." Royalty comes with Jesus as a promised Messiah. However, he is not coming like they were expecting him to come. He's coming on a donkey. And sometimes we put God in a box because we expect God to come in a certain way. Because that is our own assumption that we have based on our culture. If God has to waken me, if Jesus has to come, he has to come in a certain way. Otherwise, it's not God. But I have learned over time not to put God in a box. God will surprise you what he will do. Now, the first candle is traditionally the candle of expectation and hope, or in some traditions, prophecy. And it draws our attention to the anticipation or the hope of the coming Messiah. In this regard, the first and second coming of the Messiah, because we know that he is already here. He has come and gone back to be with the Father and sent the Holy Spirit to dwell in the inside of us. So now he lives in our hearts. He lives in our hearts. In Romans chapter 15, verse 12 to 13, Paul says, and again Isaiah says, there shall be a root of Jesse, and he who shall rise to reign over the Gentiles. In him the Gentiles shall hope. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit, who bears witness in our hearts that we are children of the Most High God, that we are saved. He bears witness with us. He is our teacher, our comforter, and he will guide us in all manner of truth. The second candle represents peace. The Messiah, Jesus Christ, was foretold as the coming Prince of Peace. It reminds us of the message of the angels: peace on earth, goodwill toward men. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6 asserts, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. Remember, peace is part of the fruit of the Spirit. The third candle of Advent is the candle of joy. Philippians 4 verse 4 says, rejoice in the Lord. And I say one more time, rejoice. During this third week of Advent, we celebrate the joy of Christ's coming on earth. It brings joy to us. Remember, the joy of the Lord is our strength. The third candle is also known as the Shepherd Candle, to highlight the joy the shepherds experienced when they received the good news about the birth of Christ. Luke chapter 2, verse 10 to 14 narrates, then the angel said to them, do not be afraid, for behold, I bring good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people, Jews and Gentiles. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you: you will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God, saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth goodwill toward men. The fourth candle of Advent, which is the pink candle, is the candle of love. Now, depending on the church tradition that you ascribe to, that might be different. But in our church tradition, the fourth candle of Advent, the pink candle, is the candle of love. The light of this pink candle is meant to remind us of the love that God has for each one of us. In 1 John chapter 4, verse 9, the Bible says, "In this the love of God was manifest toward us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him." The purpose Christ came is that we may have life and have it in abundance. He came that through him we might live. Romans chapter 5 verse 8 says, "God demonstrated his love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us." And in John chapter 3 verse 16, the Bible there says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Beloved, life eternal comes only through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He is the way, the truth, and the life. No one can claim to be the way, the truth, and the life except for Christ. We now come to the final candle, or the center candle, which is called the Christ candle. This candle represents the life of Christ that has come into the world. The color white represents purity. Christ is the sinless, spotless, pure Savior. Emmanuel, God with us, who became flesh and dwelt among us. He became flesh and dwelt among us. Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14 says, "Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel," which is translated "God with us." Matthew chapter 1 verse 21 to 23 declares, And she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." Therein lies the purpose of the coming of Jesus, to save us from our sins. And Satan knew that. That's why he wanted to kill Jesus even before he grew up to be what God had called him to do. He killed all the 2-year-olds in Bethlehem. There was weeping and crying because Satan was after the seed that was going to crush the head of the serpent. In the first advent, Jesus appeared on earth as the Lamb of God who willingly laid down his life on the cross and died for our sins. 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 9 to 10 says, "God has saved us and called us with a holy calling through Jesus Christ, who has abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel." In the second advent, however, Jesus will return as judge, King of kings and Lord of lords. the lion of a tribe of Judah. He will judge both the living and the dead. You find that in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. Are you ready? Are you ready for his second coming? It should not come to you like a thief at night. It should not surprise you, because you are waiting, longing, and looking forward to his second coming, because you know the scriptures, what God has said in his word. God, our Father, we thank you for the preaching of your word. We pray that it will not return to the void, but that you accomplish the mission for which it was sent. In the season of Advent, help us to prepare our hearts, even as we look forward to the coming of our Lord for the second time. Our prayer is that we may be ready, ready for his coming. Help us, Lord Jesus, to submit ourselves to you in everything that we do, that we may allow the Holy Spirit to prepare us for the coming of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. For we are persuaded with what is going on in the world that the coming of our Lord draws nigh each and every day. And our redemption is nearer than we thought. Give us the faith, the grace, the stability to stand, the endurance, even as we look forward to the coming of our Lord. Bless our time together now as we reflect on the sacrificial death of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.